until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the day for all to see. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Isn't that a wonderful hope of eternal life? For those who have been born again, who have given their life to Jesus Christ, isn't it wonderful? We have this a great, amazing hope. I just want to pray now. It's nice to open with prayer, of course. And Lord, we'd like to come to you this morning, Lord. Open. You are teaching us all individually, Lord, different ways. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace every day. Thank you for your new mercies every day. Thank you, Lord, for your love unfailing. Thank you, Lord, that you are with us all the time. Thank you, Lord, that your word is true and powerful, and it gives life to us, Lord. We come to you, Lord, to hear from you, Lord, from your spirit, Lord, from your holiness, Lord, even your sovereignty, Lord. It all comes from you, Lord. You are the one, Lord Jesus, that you made this possible for us to come to the Father in heaven, the creator of heaven and earth, that you may be glorified, Lord. We offer this whole morning to you, this whole day to you, our very lives to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I've got this little video I want to show first. You want to put the video on, please? Yeah, it's a funny little video.
Pearl was created by an oyster or mollusk quite by accident. Pearl-producing oysters are simple creatures that languish in water and feed on plankton. Occasionally, while the mollusks passively feed, a grain of sand or parasite will lodge itself inside the soft inner body of the oyster, causing its host great discomfort. Unable to expel the intruder, the oyster engages a defense mechanism within its body to protect itself from the intruder. The oyster begins to secrete a smooth, hard, crystalline substance around the intruder in order to protect itself. This substance is calcium carbonate-based and is commonly referred to as nacre. As long as the intruder remains within its body, the oyster will continue to deposit nacre around it, layer upon layer. After a few years, the intruder will be totally encased in a smooth and lustrous cocoon of nacre, which has now become a pearl. But how precious pearls are formed from what an oyster regards as merely protection against irritation is one of nature's most prized secrets. For all his technology and science, man is still unable to recreate this phenomenon outside of an oyster. For nacre is not just a soothing substance. It is composed of millions of microscopic crystals, each aligned perfectly so that light passing along the axis of one is reflected and refracted by the other to produce a tapestry of light and color.
Isn't that an amazing process? And it kind of speaks to me, and it kind of speaks to as we come to Jesus. And the actual soft part of the clam, the oyster, is called a mantle in some places. And the mantle in Scripture can represent the authority of God, the anointing, the Holy Spirit. And as we come to Christ, we come and he places us in the anointing, in his presence, because he is the anointed one. And we come to him, and he starts to work in our lives every day. It's like a process that goes on and on and on. And sometimes we can feel that this process isn't working in our lives. We feel a bit disheartened, a bit worried about things, and we think, well, I can't really feel this anymore. Something's going wrong. And if I want to go to the Psalm 77, we get Psalm 77 up. It's a little prayer here. It's like we all go through things sometimes. We feel discouraged, don't we? You know, we sit there and think, well, this isn't working right. That's going wrong. This is going wrong. And we just don't feel connected no more. But God is working. God is, because we're in him now. He's working, producing, changing us, making us more like Jesus, conforming us into his likeness. And that's a wonderful thing that God is doing for us all. And it's been given to us by a free gift, isn't it? Amazing. Sealed us, the promise. And this prayer, this psalm here, talks about how I see this in my way as when I don't feel that God's there for me and I need comfort. And he talks about here, I cry out to God. Yes, I shout, oh God, that God would listen to me. When I was in deep trouble, I searched for the Lord All night long I prayed with my hands lifted towards heaven, but my soul was not comforted. I think of God and I moan, overwhelmed with longing for his help. Interluded, you don't let me sleep. I am too distressed to even pray. I think of the good old days, long since ended, when my nights were filled with joyful songs. I search my soul and ponder the difference now. Has the Lord rejected me forever? We'll say that, don't we, sometimes? Has the Lord, is he not there no more? Will he never again be kind to me? Is his unfailing love gone forever? Have his promises permanently failed? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he slammed the door on his compassion? And I said, this is my fate. The Most High has turned his hand against me. We all get through that stage there sometimes. We just think, I've given up. God is not there no more. He's not working in my life no more. Things are just going too bad. And that's doubt. That's when we start to doubt. And there's another side called faith. God's word is faithful and true and just. And we come to that now. But, he says, I recall all you have done, O Lord. I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works. O God, your ways are holy. Is there any God as mighty as you? You are the God of great wonders. You demonstrate your awesome power among the nations. By your strong arm, you redeemed your people from the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. Isn't that wonderful? So sometimes we can get to a point where we just feel really, really low. But we come back and, all right, we weren't there to see the waters part. We weren't there to see the great miracles and wonders. But God has worked in our lives in such a way that we've seen things. We've tasted that God is great, that God is good. We've experienced that God answers prayers. So that is our remembrance of what has God done for us. So when negativity and doubt come flowing in our mind and we feel discouraged, come back and say, actually, that's not true. I remember when God done this for my life and God done that for my life. I remember times when God has answered prayers. And I just think, wow, how can that happen? And there's times where I just feel really low. I come, I say, actually, no. I'm not going to believe in the doubting anymore. I'm not going to believe what the enemy's saying to me. My doubting, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. No, it's not. God said this. That's faith. That's faith in standing in confidence of what Christ has done for us and what he's continuing doing in our lives every day. It's a battle, guys. Every single day is a battle. But it's a wonderful battle because the victory already has been won. And he's just standing in that victory and saying, but we mustn't be conceited about it. Let's say, by the grace of God, this is what the word of God says about me, about my life, about your life. And it's wonderful. How many times have you gone through things where you just think, oh, it's not going to work no more. And suddenly God blesses you with something. That's grace. Or you've turned away and said, that's it, I'm really angry, I'm not doing nothing no more. And you sit there going, no, I'm angry. And God pours grace. God does something in your life. And that's called grace. And he shows you something, answers you a prayer. And you think, oh, even though I was angry, you still blessed me, Lord. Of course, because I love you. And I want you to come back. Oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. And it brings you a sorrowful heart. But it's a nice way. It's not like, listen here, you're in trouble. Come over here now. Get over there. That's not my God. No way. God's like, come on, let's go and talk about it. And you come and that sorrowfulness, you say, Lord, I know I made the mistake. Probably I'll do it again, but I'm learning. So that's where you are. You're in that pearl. He's producing you. It says in there that he produces light. So the more we come to him, and it's not like, right, I've got to go to the Lord to sort this out. He draws you. He draws you with his love and his compassion. It's like a drawing. It's love. Isn't that amazing? That love that he's got for all of us is so rich and so strong that he just draws you to that. It's like once he's got you, he will never let you go. And we could turn around and say, well, okay, I'm a Christian now. And then we could feel discouraged in some ways. And we think, well, I'm not praying for the sick. Nothing's happening. There's no great things happening in my life. That means, oh, maybe I'm not a Christian. Maybe God's not working in my life. Again, doubt will come. But if we go to a scripture here, I love this scripture. Kind of brings a lot of rest in our lives in John, and they saw Jesus do great miracles, signs and wonders. And they said, they replied, "We want to perform God's works too. What shall we do?" Jesus told them, "This is the only work God wants you to do from you. Believe in the one he has sent." Isn't that wonderful? Jesus, I believe in you and that's it. I can try my own effort to try and do great wonders, great things, but the flesh profits nothing. What can I do without Jesus, without the Holy Spirit? Unless he leads us to do something great. So we need to spend time in his presence. We need to spend time worshipping our Lord, our King, our Savior. And I find that in my walk, everyone's walk's different. Yeah, everyone's life is different and everyone's way is different. But God teaches us according to our own understanding. That's how I kind of worked it out myself. Maybe it's true in the Bible. But I find that sometimes I worship the Lord. When I'm worshiping him, I'm praising him and saying, "Lord, you are great in my life. You have done great, amazing things." I find there I get filled with the Spirit. I get filled with the Spirit and I find that I'm able to deal with my day. I'm able to deal with my mornings, my situations. If I try and do it on my own, I can't. I mess up. And then grace will come and draw me back. "Come back, I want to talk to you." And again, "Lord Jesus, you are holy. You are worthy of praise." And then suddenly I feel the presence of God. And I say, "Wow, you're great, oh Lord. Oh, I love you, Lord. You're so wonderful." And a girl at work, Teresa, she goes to me, "What's wrong with you? You keep laughing all the time." I said, "It's Jesus." And that's what it is. It's flowing in the love of Jesus. Because when you connect to the worship, worshiping him and saying, "You are so glorious, so wonderful." You know, you can't really feel it, but because the Spirit is in one. When it praises Spirit and truth, it becomes a truthful worship and you get filled with God's Spirit. You're like, "Oh, wow." And you go and you're like, "I love you." People say, "What's wrong with you?" "I don't know, Jesus, I love you." They're like, "Go away, go away." It's true. But you know, that's how it is sometimes. And I mean, I think that's, for me, is worship. Because God says we are made to love and worship him. Worship the King. Worship God. You know, so if we worship in other things, you know, that, you know, sometimes we make idols. But I don't want to go into the idol worship things now because it's too deep. But we don't want to touch there. Let God deal in our own hearts. But what it is, it's like, it's worship to me is really important. I find that it's really, really important. Whatever we go through, we come and worship the Lord. Doesn't matter how, you know, crazy it might seem to you. If you're sitting there and you're thinking, "I'm going to pray." Prayer is good. It's important too. I pray, "Lord, this is my petition. This is my problem, Lord. I've got this. I've got that. That's going on. This is going on. And this and this and this. And especially that one. But you know what, Lord? This one is even worse. And that. And that and that." And it's go, "Have you finished yet?" God will say, "Yes." "Okay, now let's come." But I leave it there, Lord. I just leave it there. I think I'll try my best to leave it there. And no, actually, like, "Oh, it's one more bit. Lord, you've got to sort that out, Lord, because I'm really angry about that. You've got to sort that out. I ain't doing nothing." So you sit there walking out, "I ain't doing nothing." All day, walking around going, "Why? Okay." But we're focusing on the things that, you know, God's dealing with already. He's already dealing with our situations every day, constantly working in our hearts. And it might not feel like that, like I said before, but he is working. And what we do, we got to thank him, say, "Lord, thank you that you are working in that situation. Teach me to be able to understand." He says, don't lean on your own understanding, but let God, you know, just let him do what he wants to do. And he is working on all our lives. We all suffer from, how can I say, doubt. Doubt comes in many forms. We might have fear of death. We might fear of getting old. We might fear of not doing things right with God. We might think that God doesn't love us no more. Or I've been very, very angry with my wife or my kids and God's not there no more. And I feel condemned. That's like self-condemnation, where we feel that we've done something bad, that we don't deserve God's love anymore. But it's not like that. God's love is every day. It's new mercies. God's love is always present. And as we come to him, oh man, imagine that. You've got a child, right? And you love that child so much. And it's really naughty. What are you going to do? You're going to get it and smack it and be it. You say, "Come on, let's go, let's go, let's go." Keep talking to him and nurturing him. And that's what God does for us. You would never abandon your children. I wouldn't abandon my children. But I would try my best. But God is sovereign. God is sovereign. He's the creator of all of us. He created all of us to worship him and love him. And in that love connection, you know, when you worship God, when you come there and you just say, I'm here, Lord. I just want to be in your presence right now. I want to know you, Lord. I want to know you because I can't cope anymore. I want to know you. And you come into the presence of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes. And whatever situation you're going in, come. And be that little bit of dust in the pearl. And let him surround you. Lord, I've got a problem with this situation. Come there, just stand. And let him work on that. That situation might take a day. It might take years. But it's God is working. Because God's called us for that. He says, I'm there for you. He's given us the Holy Spirit to go through everyday life with his help. If we don't ask, we don't have. You know, I would say like to God in the past, Lord, my wife, my ex-wife done this. You need to deal with it, Lord, because, you know, it's out of order. And he'll say, let me deal with you first. And then you can go back and deal with that. I say, yeah, but can't you just like sort it out? You know, it doesn't work like that, does it? I've got to change. Love what's going on there. Try and help and understand. Just surrender. Say, okay, deal with that. And that's you know, being conformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And, you know, it's lovely knowing Jesus because when we're in him, the work that he's began, he will finish in our lives. It's a constant. And there's another scripture here. If we go to the next one, this is really good. You know, it's all good. I had so much to write down, but I only wrote that much, yeah? So it's only a little bit, yeah? So it's all just... Let God speak. This is the one. You know, we can try, you know, and work. But it says here, however, those the Father has given me will come to me. And so that means God has given people to Jesus. God himself says, right, this person, that person, that person, that person, yeah? And I would never reject them, for I have come down from heaven to do the will of God. To do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will. And this is the will of God, that I should not lose not even one of those that he has given me, but that I should raise them up on the last day. For it is my Father's will that all who see the Son and believe in him should have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that amazing? He will never lose, not even one of us. Not one. So that means, how secure is that? How secure is that? Isn't it wonderful? It's like me saying to you, right, I'm going to give you this amazing boat. Here it is, a boat for you here. And I'm just making a promise that I can't really keep. But I want to try and draw you to me and say, this is what I want to give you, just to make you come to me. But I can't fulfill that, so I'm going to let you down. You know, it can be like that. But Jesus will never let us down. He would always be there 24/7. But we need to spend time to really experience more of him. We need to spend time with him, in him. He says, abide in me, I abide in you. We need to spend time in his presence, worshipping him, praising him, surrendering our attitudes to him and say, Lord, I know you're working. And when he does show you something, it's like saying, this is what it is. You know, and you sometimes we won't like what he shows us. We won't even like parts of us. We'll be like really angry. I mean, two Sundays ago, I came to church and I was really blessed by God's presence. And I was thinking, wow, praise the Lord. I went out with my kids, picked my kids up, went for dinner. They were arguing in the restaurant. And I sit there going, no, I'm a Christian. I can't say nothing. I'm not saying nothing. No, no, no. But it got worse. I'm going, no, no, praise the Lord. I go, no, I'm not saying one thing. I'm going to fight this. I'm going, no. And it got worse. And I'm like, praise the Lord. And I go, listen here, guys. You go, calm down now. Stop now. We're in a restaurant, behave yourself. Waitress comes. I'm like, hello, how are you? So all this anger is rising up inside. So the situation is showing what's inside of me. What's inside my heart is showing what it is. And I'm sitting there going, oh, how can I cope? How can I cope with this? Got in the car, still didn't say much. I'm like, kids, you got to listen. You come out of daddy. You ain't seen me for a long time. Please, have a bit of respect for me. I'm going through hard times too. So are you. So we had a little conversation together. So in a way, I see it like we can talk. So that's good. We got in the car. They started even more. And then I got really angry. And I went, that's enough. I've had it with you. That's it. And they went, My daughter started crying. She's 17. Take me home. I never want to see you again. I'm like, oh. My son's like, that's it. It's over. You're not a good dad. I slammed the door. We remember this. I'm like, what? I said, please. And I went home. I said, Lord, what's that about? What's that? See, cause it's not about us. It's all about him. It's all about Jesus, isn't it? So we can come up to the mountain and say, yeah, you know, and we can get, sometimes we don't want to get too proud. We want to get, yeah, look at me, Christian. Boom, come back down again to reality of life. And it is a reality of life. And that's how it is. It's normal. Things in life are normal. It happens every day. But because now, you know, people who believe in Christ, are given their life to Jesus Christ, you're born again, you live in the Spirit of God, there is a power. There is a power now from heaven. The power from heaven is from the Holy Spirit. And that power has authority. It has an authority. It has a power over situation, a power over sin, has a power over anger, it has a power over unforgiveness, has a power over a lot of things. It has the ultimate power over life and death. You know, we can speak things from our mouth and they can produce life or death, you know, from our very words. So when we praise the Lord, Lord, we love you, we worship you. We're speaking life. When we're angry, we're speaking, it doesn't feel good, does it? We're angry, it doesn't feel that as life there, it feels like you're dead. And that's how I felt when I argued with my kids. I went home, I was really angry, and I felt dead. I went home and I was like this. And I started thinking bad stuff. Oh, I'm not good, I shouldn't have said that, I should have been this way, I should have been that way. But when I prayed, I said, Lord, I don't feel happy no more. I don't feel happy. I've lost my happiness. I lost my joy. But God blessed me with his presence. I said, oh, thank you, Lord. But Lord, I said that. I know I love you. Let's learn. And then my kids text me 2 days later after I text them 1,000 times. They wouldn't text me back. And I was like, it's you. But it's me. So I met my daughter again. We went out for dinner. So it's more grace. Now I can extend grace. I receive grace. And you know, if you are going through things today, and because we all are, and I've heard many scriptures or many preachers say this, if you are going through this, we all go through it every day anyway. It's part of life. It's standard, normal stuff. But now, because we've got God on our side, yeah, who could be against us? So we've got help. We've got help to overcome. We've got help to go to the next place. We've got help to deal with situations. But we've got to come to him. If we try and do it on our own, it's not going to work. If we try and sort it out, we can be adamant and stubborn and say, no, I'm going to sort it out. I'm going to do it. It's cool. God knows I can sort it out. It's fine. God understands everything I'm doing. It's cool. But we need to come back and be humbled. We need to come back and be filled with the Spirit. And he'll give us revelation. He'll give us understanding. He'll fill us with compassion. He'll fill us overflowing with his love. And when his love overflows in us like that, you start looking at people and say, oh, it wasn't really that bad, really, was it? You know what I mean? It's not. There's a story the other day. I went to this restaurant and I fancied a pizza. So I parked up in this restaurant. I parked up at the road. And as I was walking to the restaurant, I saw another place there. And I thought, oh, that looks nice. I might go in there. So I walked in. I was really welcomed. How are you, guy? I said, oh, cool, man. I said, oh, cool. Yeah, I'm good. I said, what's going on tonight? They said, it's an open mic night. I said, okay. Oh, I said, I'll have a bit of open mic night. I said, you know, so I'm thinking, you know. But, you know, there's quite a few, there's about 15 people there. And the guy says to me, it's £3 for a glass of wine. I said, oh, I'll have one small glass, please. So I had a bit of wine there, sat down watching this open mic night. And I'm sitting there watching this open mic night, and I'm thinking, great, and these guys are really good. They're like, really professional. And I'm going, cool, man. And then this guy on the piano, really good. And I'm going, suddenly I'm sitting there going, wow. Suddenly this song just came into my head. It just went boom. And I was like, huh? Where'd that come from? I was like, oh. So I just went to like, maybe it's the wine I'm thinking. Oh, no, it's not. Oh, maybe it's Jesus. Yeah, God's talking to me about this. So I didn't want to dwell on it too much. Anyway, this great boldness came up and courage. I said, I like to sing actually. So I got up. I went to the front with the guy's guitar and I said to them straight, look, I can't sing and I can't play guitar, but I'm going to try my best. It was a bit like that, actually. But anyway, I had these sunglasses on. But this song was called Invisible. And I thought, okay. So I put these sunglasses on because I saw a movie once, and I said to this guy, I'm putting my glasses on so I can be invisible, so you can't see me. But you can. But it helps me to be more confident. But really, it was God. Anyway, I got the guitar, and I started singing this song called Invisible. And it went a bit like this. It was like, I look in the mirror, and what do I see? I see a person that the world has made me to be. So the world has made me to be a certain person. And it went on to say, I don't want to be what the world has made me to be. I just want to be me. Because I feel that I'm invisible when I'm walking down the road. I feel like I'm invisible and no one sees me for who I really am. And he went on like this song. And as I got into it, it really became really passionate about this song. And it was just like, it kind of spoke to me like, sometimes, you know, in life, we can feel invisible. It can feel that I just want to be me. And who are we? When we come to Christ, when we come to Jesus, he shows you who you really are, who you're meant to be. The world out there gives you these impressions, or you need a car, you need this. Nothing wrong with having stuff, but you need this, you need that. This will make you look better, that will make you look good, but it never fulfills you inside. It never gives you that true feeling of fulfillment, that love, that deepness. That's it, that pure rest. We can just sit there and say, I've got it all now. And it is, it's Jesus. When you've got Jesus, you're like, it's so nice. And that's what we need to be. We need to be at a place where we come to rest. Because when Jesus was baptized, have you noticed? Jesus was baptized, and as he came, he was fully submerged. We need to come fully submerged into the Holy Spirit, fully submerged into Jesus. And then when he came up, the Holy Spirit came and rested on him. And rested because he was fully submerged. He was fully committed. Yes, I come to you. And he was at rest, being forgiven, washed completely. We are washed. We are forgiven. There's no more condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. None. So we are washed. We can come in full confidence and say, yes, Lord, because of you, you have washed me. You have cleansed me, set me free. We are free. We are free to rejoice and praise the King of Kings, the I Am, the El Shaddai. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't that great? I mean, come, praise God. And there's a power of manifestation of the power of his presence that comes. Before that, I was living in darkness, didn't feel nothing, just complete, utter darkness, walking around thinking, yeah, I feel great. I had 10 glasses of wine last night, talked to people, done this, done that. Empty, shallow. So hollow inside. Then go and buy more stuff. Then do this. Dress up really smart. After shave the whole lot. Have a haircut. I had hair then. Have a haircut. Everything. But I just didn't feel enough. But Jesus is enough. Now. And we need to come to that place that he is enough. And it is more than enough. He has done so much for us. He shed his blood that we can come through the cross now. And live in the pasture lands, in the greenness, in the joy of his presence. And it's about rejoicing and saying, yes, Lord, you did it for me. You have set me free, Lord. I'm free now. I'm free. And I want to sing to the Lord Almighty. You know, that's the heart. That's the heart we need to sing and praise and worship. Because as those who believe and have given their life say, yes, Lord. That's what happens. The more you spend time with Jesus, the more you spend time in his presence, the more you speak the word of God over your life and say, yes, it's true. I'm free. I've been set free. I'm washed. I'm cleansed. No more sin. Oh, we live in the sinful world and we do slip up and sin, but he's forgiven us. And if we do sin, Jesus is praying for us. Saying, hey, man, my God's sinning. Do we come? Let's pray for him. Get him out of here. We need to spend time in the presence of God, constantly in the presence. You know, we can sit there, like I said before, really praying, oh, Lord, please, please, Lord, please, 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 please. Please, Lord, please, please, please. Like the guy in the Psalms, he says, please, I lift my hands up, there's nothing's happening. But we need to remember, you are holy. You did it all for me on the cross, oh, Lord. That's where it is. You did it all. It is finished. It is done. Complete. Finished. Victory is ours. And that's what it's about. Having that victory, having that freedom, living my life now in freedom. It's a working process. No one's perfect. We won't be until we meet Jesus, yeah? So I think, yeah, I've got it all now. No, we haven't. Not yet. It's coming. It's slowly. But it's a process, and circumstances will come where you need to change in that. So when it does come, it's because you need to change in that. It just happens, you know, and we're learning. And, you know, I thank God that in the circumstance, His presence is there. His joy is there. You know, I can go through certain things in my life when I went through my divorce. I had joy. I had this joy. And I was like, how can I have joy when I'm going through a divorce? How? Because God is there. God is pouring His joy upon me. But Lord, I want to get angry. No, you don't. You don't need to get angry. Joy, joy. But it just didn't happen. It didn't happen no more. Before it would be like, I'm going to the pub, get really, really drunk, and just lay down. That's how it was before. But now I've got Jesus. It's like joy, 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 grace, grace, grace. It's wonderful news. It's great. Being in Him. I don't want to live in doubt land no more. I want to live in faith land, because we are called to live by faith and by grace. And it's wonderful news, isn't it? It's wonderful that you all live by faith now. What God is saying, not what the world is saying. Because over there you're invisible. With Him, you are very visible. He can see you. And when He looks at you, He looks at you and says, this is my child. This is my child. And on Him is my the blood of my Son Jesus. He doesn't see you no more as a person thrown away. He loves you. Come on, let's go. And as He fills you with the Spirit, He fills you with His love, you go out and say, oh man. And the Spirit permeates. It comes out of you, radiates out of you. The Spirit itself, as you love Jesus, His Spirit just comes out and touches other people's lives. Touches people. I've seen God move in such a way that I didn't even say nothing. I don't need to boast in anything that I do, because my life is not good. It's upside down. Praise the Lord, because He's working in my life. But I've seen God move in His way. I've seen God touch someone's life. As I'm just sitting there cutting hair, God will just come like, praise the Lord. I said, how is that possible? With God, all things are possible. I've seen things. I've seen people healed. It's not because, pray for you, healed it right now in Jesus' name. It's not about that. It's like, Jesus, I love You. You're working in my life, and I thank You. Having a thankful heart. You know, when you grumble, not good. Grumbling is not good either. Oh, grumble, grumble, grumble. You're blessed. People are blessed. You are blessed people of God. You know, you have an authority. You're priest. You're holy. He has made you these things. He has given you His covenant. He has clothed you with His righteousness and His love. You know? And that's really what all I want to say is keep going. Remember who you are in Christ. Remember when the doubting does flow like a big wave like this. Say, I'm in Christ Jesus now. And I have the power now because of His grace to overcome everything in my life. It's wonderful, wonderful news. So let's just keep focusing on Jesus. And remember, I've given you a visual today of how the process works. And if you look at that, the process says it produces light on the pearl. He said it was producing light and color. So when you spend time with Jesus, He's going to produce light in your life. He's going to make you shine. He's going to make you shine and shine. But you need to spend time with Him, praising, saying, thank You, Lord, for what You did for me on the cross. Amen to that. Let's pray, and then can we have some music, and we're just going to pray and ask God to. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Father, we thank You, Lord, for what You have done for us, Lord. Thank You, Lord, that You have called us. You have sealed us with Your Spirit, Lord. You have given us Your promises, Lord. Your promises, Father, of eternal future, Lord. Eternal, Lord, eternal. Yes, Lord, not just this life, but after, Lord, with You. Lord, we thank You. We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord, that there is hope, Lord, even for the lost, Lord. They can come to You, Lord. Come to You and say, I want Jesus. I want Jesus. I want life. Lord, You give life, Lord. You do. And we thank You for that, Lord. Life, Lord. We need more love. We need more power. Thank You, Lord. We need You more, Lord. More of You, Lord. More of You. More of You, Lord. More of You. We can't do nothing without You. Nothing without Your presence, Lord. Holy, holy, holy presence of God. We worship You this morning, Lord. We come to You opening our hearts this morning, Lord. We worship You with all our troubles and problems, Lord. Father, we want to soar like eagles, Lord. But some of us, Lord, have got ropes on our feet, Lord. Unforgiveness, anger, issues, Lord. But we want to come to you, Lord, you may cut that rope away. So we may soar in your spirit, Lord, as you call us to soar, Lord. Because in your presence, Lord, there is freedom. In your presence, Lord. You have set us free, Lord. Help us, Lord, help us. Help us to forget, Lord, the things that are holding us back. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's not about us, Lord, it's all about you. Jesus, Holy Spirit. More love, Lord, more love.